Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, as I walk around, I walk my dogs every morning. I get up, have my cup of coffee, and just tour. You know, I have a nice, really nice yard, and I tour my yard every day, and sometimes I walk the dogs around the neighborhood. But whatever it is, I get up, and I thank God for my life. And I think to myself, why doesn't everybody have this in their life? And today I'm not going to lecture on why or why not. I just want to bring some facts to mind because I was thinking to myself, do people really even believe they can retire anymore? I don't know that they do. And because I have no idea and there's really no way to find out anything, you can't just speak to people anymore. People don't want to talk to you. They're very guarded. This has become a very guarded society. The political outcome of just about anything is unbelievable. So I looked at it and said, let me just run this up against AI. AI seems to be the thing that knows everything. Let's find out what it says. Is it really realistic goal to retire in the U.S. at this time? Here's what it came back. I thought was interesting. It says, in the mid-2025, the ability to retire comfortably is becoming a highly polarized based on savings, discipline, and income level. Well, that's a bunch of gumbo, you know, mumbo, jumbo, gumbo. What it basically saying is, hey, if you've saved enough money and you don't live high on the hog, you might be able to retire. But if you haven't saved enough money, you're not going to retire. And if you live way too high on the hog, you're not going to be able to retire because your money saved just isn't going to get you there. That's what I read into that little sentence. So they had a bunch of supporting information. By the way, I don't know where the supporting information comes from because AI doesn't seem, or at least the one I use, doesn't give you the supporting information. But this is what it basically came back and said. The magical number as of 2026, Americans generally believe they need approximately 1.26 million to retire comfortably. Now, I don't know where they come up with that number. I have no idea, but that's just what it says. However, median retirement savings for those aged 55 to 64 is just $185,000. So half the people out there between 55 and 64 have less than $185,000. The other half above have more than $185,000, highlighting a significant gap in many households. Well, that's over 50% of the people have less than enough to retire on. In fact, it's probably way less than that. Probably only about 20% of the people in our country have the wherewithal to retire anymore. And that's scary. It doesn't seem fair. Used to be you work 40 years, they give you the gold watch and the retirement plan. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore. Now you have to work 40, 50, 60 years. You don't get a gold watch. And you have to have figured out how to retire on your own. The company didn't figure it out for you. They didn't save some money aside for you, right? So it goes on and says, it's interesting because each layer, you know, when you work with AI, each layer is another set of information that it brings to the argument. It says rising costs remains the most significant variable. At 65 years old, retirement in 2026 is estimated to need roughly $172,000 to $313,000 just for medical costs alone over your lifetime, depending on gender and coverage types. So $172,000 to $313,000. Now, you've only got $185,000 median price, but the rest of your life's going to take $172,000 to $313,000 just in medical costs. Seems highly unlikely those two numbers work, huh? Not to myself. Goes on and says that Social Security adjustments, 2026 Social Security benefits, received a 2.8% cost of living adjustment, call them colas. While helpful, this raise may be largely offset by a 9.7. Now remember, the increase was 2.8, but an offset by a 9.7 increase in the standard Medicare Part B premium, which rose to $202.90 per month in 2026. Well, there you go. They gave you a little more Social Security, and they took it away with the Medicare costs. Okay. All that makes sense. I mean, we've had this Ponzi scheme called Social Security and Medicare our entire lives. In fact, generations now. And it had to fail at some point. They're not necessarily saying it fails, but what they're saying is it's going to fail you. You're not going to be able to retire based on the Social Security and Medicare combination that they've given you to survive on. So what else is important here? Well, many, many people, in fact, a very high percentage of people decided they're not going to retire. They've got shifting ideas as to what they're going to do to survive. It goes on and says, shifting definitions of retirement. The traditional retirement age is disappearing for many. Let me read that again. The traditional retirement age is disappearing for many. Delayed exit. The average retirement age has risen to 64 for men and 62.5 for women. Nearly two-thirds of Americans now feel the retirement between ages 65 and 70 is unobtainable. Let me read that one again. Nearly two-thirds of Americans now feel that retiring between ages 65 and 70 is unattainable. So in other words, they don't believe they're going to retire, even up to 70. It just doesn't seem like you can do it, right? The confidence in recession, 64% of Americans report they are more afraid of running out of money than they are of dying. I've joked for 35 years doing seminars that the plan, the American plan for retirement is save as much money as you can, live off of it, and hope you die before you run out of money. Well, now 64% of Americans believe they're going to run out of money before they die. Where in the past, that theory of just save up, live off your money, and then die, and the problem all goes away. Well, the problem of dying is that people aren't dying anymore. So some people decided to do something like phased retirement. A growing trend in 2026 is the unretirement or part-time work, with 40% of Social Security recipients continuing to work in some capacity to supplement their income. 40%. So of all the people that actually do figure out how to retire, 40% of them come back to work. They go back to work. They have to. The Social Security doesn't make it. The savings accounts, the 401ks, the entire big giant plan that you've put together for your entire life just isn't making it. And so you have to go back to work. Now, those actively planning several 2026 policy changes offer them some potential help. Higher contribution levels. So what can you do? You can save more and more and more and more of your money and live on a lower and lower and lower expectation in life now, right? Just so you have enough money to survive in your end. They're saying the limits to $24,000 on 401k plus $8,000 catch-up for those 50 and over. The IRA limits are $7,500. So I don't know what the regular limits used to be, but they're up, and that's allowing you to save more money within your retirement account. But has it really solved the problem? Right? And okay, there's a lot of argument for that. If you live on less and you don't get into the habit of living on more, and then when it comes down to living on less, when you have to, then you're pretty good at living on less. That would be a good practice to get into. However, it wasn't the practice I wanted. I wanted to be able to live at a higher standard of living each year and every year after I retired. I retired at 34 years of age. And then every year after that, I added more real estate to my collection, and my passive income grew. And it kind of grew like a hockey stick. You know, it's exponential. The more money you make, the more money you can save without it changing your actual standard of living. At some point, I was making so much money, I forced myself to up my standard of living. And the way you do that is get married. It all of a sudden gets forced. Actually, I tried to force it before that just by going out and having more fun with friends and taking people out to eat and travel and stuff. So why did you do that? Because I was making so much money, I was saving so much money that it seemed way out of bounds with my standard of living. I said, you know, I've got more than enough to live for the rest of my life, maybe two lifetimes. So I said, decided, you know, don't end up a dead old man with no fun and whatever, just spend the money now or some larger portion of it. You know, obviously the growth outgrew the ability to spend. And then what I found is I started realizing that I was spending money on stupid stuff, really dumb stuff. I started this thing where every Friday after we'd have a road trip, I would take people out for drinks. And it started out where it'd be a couple hundred bucks, and I'd buy everybody in the room drinks and everything, and no big deal. It was kind of fun being the guy picking up the tab. And then all of a sudden, it went to 500, 700, and 1,000. I started figuring out what's going on. Well, it got around that I was buying people drinks and appetizers and hors d'oeuvres and snacks. And then all of a sudden, it just got ridiculous. You know, it got up to a couple thousand bucks a week. And I said, you know, I think that this is no longer what it was intended to be. It's become a welfare program. So I stopped it. The point here is that even though I tried to accelerate my cost of living, the natural control that's in my brain says, hey, come on. You can spend as much as you enjoy, but when it no longer becomes an enjoyment to expand my spending, there's no need to do it. And this is what it became. It was just somebody using it and take advantage of me and not really the enjoyment of giving anymore. So that was just one little example of the fact that as you go through life, you're deciding what you're going to do. Are you going to be a saver or a spender? But that's really not even the solution. And that is the problem. So they have two solutions. The one is to save more, which to me, saving more wasn't the solution. Mine was to save at a rate and then grow my income. And as I grew my passive income in retirement, then my savings was a percentage of that, and let's say whatever the number might be, 10%, 20%, who knows exactly what it was. I know now my income's so high that I save more than 50%, maybe even more than 60%. I mean, just because I don't need it. But that's irrelevant to you because you're not there. So the point is you have to pick a point and say, I'm going to save 5% or 10% or whatever. And then you got to stick to that. There's no doubt. And many people can't stick to that, or emergencies come up and wipe it out. So savings is one part of their plan. The other part of their plan is don't retire. Just keep working. Work into your 70s now. And it's something that people are doing because really, I feel like I'm 40. In fact, in some days, I feel better than I felt when I was 40, when I was all beat up from being a pro, competitive bodybuilder. But the reality is that people are living longer, period. By my age, a lot of people are dying around me. I've seen a lot of people that didn't take care of their health, drank and smoked and did all the crazy stuff and lived hard and died young. But the rest of us, it just did the right thing. Just ate healthy and lived healthy and exercised. They're going to live a long time, man. I don't see anything killing people off at 70 as an average at some point in the future, near future even. So what happens to your savings plans, right? What happens to your savings plans if you live another 5 years? So if you think that you're going to live to 70 and you live to 75, what does that do? And in here it talks about the fact that you're living longer, people are living longer, is destroying the retirement plans, because that save up a pile of money, live off the pile of money and die before you run out of money thing isn't working anymore. It just isn't, right? Now, I'm going to take it one step further. That plan's not working very well. What if you live to 80? Not 5 years longer, but 10 years longer. Or 90. I have many people in my family, or not in my friends' families, I see all around me, not mine in particular, but my wife's family and other people that I know's families, are living into their 80s. Late 80s. Oh, man. You see people on TV living in their 90s. I don't know what percentage is. I don't think that's very high, but I think the 80s is becoming a realistic thing. I really do. My uncle lived to 86. And every other male in my family died by 65. He's the only one that didn't drink and didn't smoke, is what it came down to. And when I say didn't drink, I mean he didn't drink profusely. He did when he was young, but his wife snatched that bottle out of his hand, and he got better off for it. The rest of my family drank and smoked like chimneys, and just unbelievable. So here we go. What do you do? I mean, there's a lot of negative stuff. What do you do, Del? How do I overcome this? And I think the first thing that we've got to get you to do is to change your understanding of what retirement is. I have a different belief of retirement than you do. My belief is the day my passive income equals or exceeds my earned income, I'm basically retired on paper. In other words, at that point, I could retire because I've replaced my income. If I didn't want to, there's no need for me to retire. I retired at 34 years of age. I really had nothing to do, and I got bored, and people asked me, will you consult me? So I started a consulting company. Only because I needed something to do. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what you can do to get started building your passive streams of income. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Not sure how to get started with real estate? Lifestyles Unlimited gives you the tools and education to move you forward with confidence. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we were talking about, is it possible to retire in this day and age? I hit up AI in the first segment and came up with a factor that's saying it's very difficult. And one of the other things that they brought up that I didn't cover in the first segment, I think probably is important, is they went down the part about healthcare inflation being massive, that Social Security isn't going to be able to cover the cost of healthcare. When you add in the extra years, that is even acerbated more. You think about it, when you're young and then you just die at age 60 or something, or 65, like all the men in my family did, is that you've got all the unhealthy stuff out of the way really quick while you're still working and you had health insurance, and then boom, you die and it's over, right? But if you're going to just nurse those long old age problems along for many, many years, that could get costly medically because you have to go in and take care of these things. Even just normal medical expenses. Like I go to one doctor to get all my medication for all my blood work stuff. Another doctor that is just a general practitioner. I got a doctor for rotator cuffs even, injuries and so forth. No problem to me, but for somebody else that didn't have the money I have, that would be really problematic to have to go to all those doctors. And even if you have insurance, you have to pay deductibles. So it's out-of-pocket costs. It's not your normal everyday, how do I survive and pay my bills kind of cost, right? The next one, though, I think is interesting. It's called the subsidy cliff. Early retirees, ages 50 to 64, face a potential health care shock, but with enhanced tax problems. These premiums can cost as much as double. In other words, when you quit your job, and your employer's paying half your insurance or all your insurance, all of a sudden you retire between ages 50 and 64 and you're not ready for Medicare yet, you've got to figure out how to get insurance. And so I retired at 34 years of age. I have always just bought insurance until I started my own company. Once I started my own company, I was forced to provide insurance for my employees. Then I jumped on it. But before that, for the first whatever years there were before I had my own company, I simply just bought insurance on the open market. And I don't know, I can't remember it being any more expensive than paying it with my employer. It's weird because you're paying it, right? But when you have it with your employer, they're taking it out of your paycheck. You don't really even see it. You don't really pay attention to it. But then all of a sudden, and that's what they're talking about, this slap in the face that all of a sudden you have to worry about insurance, right? So again, that's making people go, I can't retire. The last one is an interesting one. Housing pressure. Surging home prices and property taxes have made housing the top concern for 75% of Americans planning for retirement. Many retirees now enter 2026 with a median gap of over $500,000 between their actual savings and what they believe they need to keep their homes. So people aren't going to have a place to live. They're going to have to rent in retirement. Whew, man. So let's go back to the solution. We've got enough of the problem. We see the problems there. The solution is you have to start somewhere producing passive streams of income. And so I started out by buying my first rent house that only had $220 a month positive cash flow. But that was a lot because I'd never had positive cash flow. And all the investments I ever had, 401ks, IRAs, oil wells, limited partnerships, I never got a check in the mail. Isn't that interesting? Never got a check in the mail until I bought real estate. And then all of a sudden I got checks in the mail. And it was so interesting after I got my first rent house and I made $220 a month. The broker who sold it to me said, do you want any more of these? I said, I'll take three more. And he said, why only three? I said, because that's all the money I can come up with. And at the time, I only needed to put down about $2,000 per house. Now, that's 40 years ago, guys. It's not that anymore. Now you have to come up with about 20 grand, about 10 times that amount. So if you buy these, right? And I bought them, one of them, then I said three more, I bought three more. Now all of a sudden, I had $220 a month times four, which was $880 a month. You go, well, Dell, that's nothing. Well, Social Security is nothing. Medicare is nothing. Everything's nothing when you're looking in perspective of you making $100,000 a year, right? Nothing is. But it's a place to start, and it's something you don't have right now. I would be willing to bet that 90% of you or higher out there do not have $880 a month cash flow coming in tax-free, because the way we teach you to do it, you can avoid taxes, defer taxes forever. So $880 a month tax-deferred, meaning if you were earning this as a job, you would have to earn probably 40% more, which would be $1,200, $1,300 a month. And so you don't have that coming in. What it also did for me was let me learn how to run these four properties, four houses, and come up with a system on how to do that that was not a pain in the butt. And that's what we teach you at Lifestyles, how to locate, evaluate, negotiate, purchase, rehab, and own this thing, but also how to operate it so that it's not a pain in the butt. What are the steps to take when you're buying this to buy the right property, to pay the right price, to get the right rehab done, to put it on the market, to rent it instantly, and maintain a tenant for a long period of time without hassles? That's what you need to learn how to do. It's real simple. Once we teach it to you, it's real simple. And what's funny is I read a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And the first time I read it, I highlighted it. And I thought, wow, this is some really interesting stuff. It's going to change my life. Highlighted it in yellow. Came back a year later and go, you know, maybe I should revisit this. I've had massive success in my life since I read this book. Let's read it again. So I read it again. And you know what happened? I highlighted it in green, and so I could see if there's stuff I missed and something new I should be starting to pay attention to. Well, when I came to the stuff in yellow that I'd already highlighted, I looked at it and go, I don't know why I even highlighted that. That's common sense stuff. And that's what's weird about it, guys. What I'm teaching you would seem to be common sense stuff, except it's not. Running a business is oxymoronic. Everything you think you should do if you've never owned or ran a business is probably opposite of what you should do. It's amazing. It's not like dealing with your brother and your sister and your mother and your father and your siblings and your cousins. It's not like dealing with your boss. It's nothing like any of that. You are now the man. You are now the person that needs to know all, do all, be all, and do it right. Otherwise, you're the one at fault. Well, it's quite simple. Once you learn those right things to do, how to be the man, and it be wonderful. But if you don't know how to do those things, it be not wonderful. It be terrible. So a lot of people start out in real estate without getting the education they need. They go out and wing it, and they get destroyed. And you always hear this. You know, I have people come in all the time and go, you know, I would have done it except my mother, my father, my cousin, my brother, my CPA, my attorney, my teacher, all tried it. It didn't work. It didn't work because they never learned how to do it. Right? They never learned how to do it. If you're driving a car and never learned the laws, never learned what all the stop signs and the go signs mean, never learned how to pass and what all the different lines in the road mean, all the signs mean, you're going to get killed out there. And if you start doing rental real estate and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get killed out there. You need to know what the stop and go signs are and what the red and green lights mean and what all the signs along the way mean. How to screen tenants is important. What to do if something comes up with your tenant, how to deal with it. And all that stuff's learnable. You learned everything else in life. You're at a job somewhere, my God. You've figured out how to do something important in life. This is no different. You just learn to do it. What I've noticed in my clientele, people looking to retire, over the last 10 years, back when I started Lifestyles Unlimited, I was 34 years of age and I retired. So the people that heard me on the radio and listened to me were people typically 40 and younger because you were my age. I said, how did this young kid do this? Older people didn't care to listen to me. No. They had the 401k dream in front of them. They had pensions in front of them. They had saved hundreds of thousands of dollars thinking that was going to get them to retirement. And to hear that a 34-year-old kid retired just seemed like too good to be true. It's a fluke, you know, on and on and on, this type of deal. So only the people that were closer to my age came in to listen to me. As I grew and those people that listened to me became successful, as the 40-year-olds started becoming successful, then all of a sudden they're telling their friends and family and relatives, and my whole business is filled up with 40 to 50-year-olds now. And it's funny because the 50-year-olds would come in and go, you think there's any chance that I could do anything before my retirement and still be safe? And back then we used to say to people, you know, we could retire in 5 years or less. We've since given that moniker up because so many other people copied it from us and didn't come through on it that it's now become almost a slang for people trying to rip you off, you know, retire you in 5 years or less. So we dropped the moniker that we created 35 years ago because we were actually doing it. In fact, when I started the company, the moniker was really retire you in 7 years or less. It was a seven-year system. But what happened is that people started doing it very quickly. And so it became 5 years simply because most people were retiring within 5 years. And most is a statement that, you know, what does that really mean? I don't know. It was enough that it changed the culture. The culture was the members telling new members coming in that, hey, even though the system says 7 years, and they started bragging, I did it in 5 years, I did it in 4 years. And there actually became a group of people called the Deuces who retired in 2 years or less. And that was like the craziest group because they'd get up and throw two fingers in the air and say, yeah, I'm a Deuces, I retired in 2 years or less. Whew. So the age group changed to between 40s and 50s, and then eventually that slid into the 60s. But you never saw 70-year-old people come in because most of them were retired by 65. I mean, people are retiring at 60. Why come to a retirement planning or a retirement program when you're already retired? It doesn't make any sense. And for years, that was my demographic. And then one day we woke up after COVID. And we woke up and we started seeing that, wait a minute, there are people that are still alive, that are coming in and saying, hi, Del, I'm 70 years old. I think I'm going to do this because, number one, I need to add some additional income to my retirement plan. And number two, I'd like to leave some money to my grandkids. That was the first I saw of it, older people coming in. And we were uncomfortable. You know, what can I do for someone who signs up at 70 and then he dies at 71? I mean, it was really an uncomfortable thing for me that really wasn't my clientele. My clientele was people age 40 to age 60 was really my clientele, really 40 to 50, but 60 still had time to do stuff before they were too old to not be able to do anything type of thing. But now I got people coming into me going, Dell, you're still strong and standing up, and I'm 70 and I'm strong. I'm going to live to 80, maybe 90. And they're literally telling me they think they should be there. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, maybe they should, but maybe they shouldn't. You know, do you really start planning for the retirement at age 70? And yet these people coming in with these reasonings why they wanted to do that. So what we noticed was is that our clientele shifted dramatically. In fact, the lower end of our clientele has almost disappeared. So why is that, Del? I mean, you retired at 34. Why did the younger people give up on that? Because today, younger people can't even figure out how to get out of their mom and dad's home. They can't figure out how to get a job. They can't figure out how to keep a job. They can't figure out how to buy a home. They have no idea how to deal with finances. They've gone to school that gave them absolutely the wrong direction as far as thinking. They believe now, and larger portion of our younger generation believe socialism's the way to go. There's some way I can get to survive without doing anything. And so the younger generation has disappeared. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have a few guys. We got a few guys and gals that are young that are doing this. We got actually three guys that are under 20 years of age owned an apartment complex, believe it or not. So we have some younger people that are doing it. But the quantitative analysis of this entire aspect is that younger people are becoming less interested in retirement and just interested in how the heck do I survive? How do I get out of mom and dad's house? Or maybe I don't even want to get out of mom and dad's house. Maybe it would be generational housing like it used to be in the old days. You'd have a farmhouse and the kids would live there until dad died and then the kids would take over the farm and it would just be generational. You see that all over the world. That's the way it is. And maybe that's what happens in America. But I'm telling you that whatever your generation is, if you're young, if you're medium age, if you're older, you can decide to make a change. And the program has aspects of it that will help you at every level. You just have to decide if you really want to do something. And, you know, when you get older, you have to decide, do you feel good enough? Do you have enough energy? I know people that are so old, you know, like I have to take a nap every day. Go, Dell, come on. You're going to make us laugh at you. Yeah, you laugh at me all you want. I'll tell you what, I get up after that nap and I'm crisp. I'm ready to go. In fact, usually I work out after I take that. It refreshes and it invigorates me, gets me going. You don't do that when you're 30 years old or 40 years old. Maybe you could, would if you could. I didn't. But it's time to think about it, guys. Remember, this is coming up on you fast, and you only get one shot at this. So remember, it's not just the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.